And welcome to Unreal Bluegrass. I'm Steve Martin. My guest in the second hour, if you've been listening for the last hour, is Missy Raines. Missy has a brand new album, Highlander, on Compass Records. It's Highlander, features her band Allegheny and a lot of other guests that we'll talk about in the next hour. Missy Raines is, and I've said it before, in my opinion, one of the best bass players across all platforms, all genres in the world. I've seen her do so many things, heard her do so many things. This is a great album. We're going to start it off with her choice, Ghost of a Love, and that'll get us into, no, strike that. We're going to start it off with Fast Moving Train. At the end, we're going to play Ghost of a Love, and we're going to feature another tune also, Who Needs a Mine. But there's so much great music, and I've already played two cuts in the first hour. I could just go on and on and on about each cut, and maybe I do that in my conversation with Missy, because I'm so taken with this release. A nice discussion with Missy about the music, about some personal things, and have a good time listening to my good friend Missy Raines. To the listeners of Unreal Bluegrass, you just heard a tune, Fast Moving Train. It's written by Shad Cobb, I believe. It's on the brand new Missy Raines Highlander album, which Missy has recorded with a lot of great musicians, including her band Allegheny. And I have Missy Raines on the phone right now to talk about the album and what she's been up to, and I'm just so thrilled to have the opportunity to put her out there for everybody to hear it. And by the way, I'm going to say this too, and I said this off the air, and I'll say the same thing. This is an album on Compass. I want you to know where it came from, the listeners. It's Missy Raines, Highlander. There's 10 cuts on it, and I will tell you this right off the bat. It's the best bluegrass album I've heard in 2024. And I'll say that without fear of someone saying, "Well, you know, I thought you thought I had the best bluegrass." I never said that. I've never said that before. So I'm saying it now. It's absolutely the best bluegrass. Anybody's going to love this that's ever listened to bluegrass. It's, just congratulations. Congratulations.
Oh, my gosh. Well, thank you so much. And it's great to be here with you.
I miss you guys, and I miss your goofy husband Ben. I used to see him all the time on IBMA, and I just, you know, it's like.
Yeah, we miss you too. I really appreciate what you just said, though, and I really wanted to make a record that was undeniably bluegrass.
Well, yeah, okay.
And what you said it just means a lot. I appreciate it. I'm just really glad that I was able to get this music out there and do it with these particular people. So it's been amazing.
There are so many. Well, you're more than welcome. There are so many great stories attached within the songs that you're doing. And one of my favorite things, I love the music. We're going to talk about that and who wrote what and who joined you on certain songs. But when you open the CD, which I would suggest everybody do it and open it, there's a photograph there. And if photographs could play music, the music that photograph will be playing is this new Highlander album. And I think that photograph is special to you from reading the credits, but that is the perfect photograph to put all this music right inside.
Yeah. Well, that also really hits home. And I mean, both literally and figuratively, because that photograph, yeah, it is a special one. It's something I just took on my iPhone, like, gosh, years ago. Not that many years ago, but just in, not with the intention of having it be on this album, but it is essentially where I grew up, the valley that I'm looking at, and the mountain view that I have, is also very meaningful because it's, where I used to spend a lot of time when I was a kid looking down on the rest of the world. But also, one of my nephews lives there now with his family on that side of the mountain. So, you know, it's all very, very precious to me. And but I had that photo on my phone, and one day I was just, when we were getting the artwork together for the album, I thought, this is what it is. This has to be in there. And I didn't honestly think they would accept it because it was just like this photo from my phone, but they did.
Well, it's perfect. It's the perfect color. It's the perfect texture. If I can try to be smarter than I am, and I also think that you know, most of our phones take better pictures than most of our cameras do anymore. So I mean, don't ever think that's not going to work because of everything they capture. But it's perfect. It's absolutely perfect, and your notes to it are perfect. I'm not going to read them. They're not long. You've discussed a little bit of them. I want people to get it and open it and read what you said about that perspective that you have as to where you're standing in. And so Highlander is, I've just been listening and listening and listening, and I scribble all over my pages of notes, and I'm going back and scribbling the same things to emphasize again just how much I like every bit of this album. There's 10 tracks on it. You have one instrumental, which is Panhandle Country. The tune that we played, I think, is a tune written by, is it by Shad? I hear your cat, by the way. I have two cats and a dog, so that's okay. Leave your cat alone. She can make as much noise as she wants to.
He shall not be denied. I can tell you that.
You can't. I think it's a Shad Cobb tune. You have so many contributors, but I'm so glad you picked that tune to start off with, because it just absolutely makes a statement that this album is, this is bluegrass. It's not the first cut on the album, but it's the third cut, and it's like, this is bluegrass, in case you're wondering where Missy Raines is going on this. This is 100%, 100 miles an hour bluegrass. Not that every song is fast, but it's a great, by the way, the listeners know this, I have artists pick three tunes. I start with one, and then somewhere in the middle we'll go to another one, and we end with one. So I was so glad you picked that one, because I had stars all over it on my note page.
Oh, good. Well, I'm glad that we were on the same page on that. This was written by Shad, and Shad and I have known each other for years and played a lot of music together with lots of different configurations and folks, and this is a song that I knew he had written. There was a time when he and Shad and I played in a band with Mike Compton and David Greer, and we called that band Hell and Highwater.
I saw you do that. I saw you perform with them.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was a really, really powerful time. And it was an important time for me because they're all my buddies, and it was a unique perspective to play with them for a little while. But anyway, we did work this song up in Hell and High Water, but we didn't record it, and we didn't do it very often, because by the time we had worked this one up to play on stage, you know, we weren't playing very many gigs after that. So I saw the song as, like, I didn't hear anybody else doing it, and I thought, well, it's just kind of laying around, you know, it's just like laying there. So I asked Chad, I said, "Dude, would you mind if I actually started playing your song?" And he was very excited about it, so he's very sweet, and so we did.
And I remember talking to you about this in the past, Missy, that at some point within the last handful of years, you really started discovering making more use of your singing voice. Do I have that accurate, that you really, it's something where you came forward and really wound up being a lead singer, in a sense that makes any sense in a bluegrass band? It seems to me we talked about that at some point.
Oh, yes. I had the first go at it when I was playing in a duo with Jim Hurst.
Yeah.
And that was where I was, sort of exploring what worked for me in songs and, you know, all of that sort of thing, and just building my confidence, basically, of just singing in front of people. And then I started The New Hip, which was in a completely different band, largely instrumental, but I was definitely singing some there. But yeah, it's taken me a long time, and you know, I just had this, I was just sitting here listening to you ask me that, and I realized that something that a lot of people don't know, and I actually don't ever talk about this, but I will here, is that, you know, part of the reason that I didn't sing early on was, you know, when I first started singing, I had a few moments where there were a couple of moments that weren't very good, you know, like you didn't get somebody said something, or you got a bad response, or, you know, you just didn't want to sing at that moment, and somebody, you still sang, and then, you know, and I kind of got wounded a little bit. And I'm saying that today. I really have no idea why I'm saying this for the first time in public, but I feel like there might be somebody out there who needs to know that, you know, it's really, you can find a way to get past that. And so I did, I did that, but it took me way longer than I think it would for most people. But you know, once I got past that, then it's like
you were out there.
Oh yeah, and I was very fortunate to be playing with, as I mentioned, Jim Hurst, for example, coming back into it. So incredibly supportive, and just he's just such a gentle soul anyway, and I didn't even really express all of this to him either, but he just was so supportive and knew that I just didn't have a lot of experience doing it. So it was great. It was great time to try to get out there and do it. And but now I'm completely past all of that. But I think it's important for folks if you are struggling with getting the confidence or if you have a bad experience, just try not to let that keep you down, and or just figure out ways to work around that, and explore artistic outlets so that you can find a way to get to be able to express yourself in the best way you can. I think it's really important.
That could even be, we didn't plan it this way. Thanks for sharing that. And Jim Hurst, one of my all-time favorite human beings on the planet.
Yeah.
And I just and I think just a guitar player, and I love everything that he does, and he's on here whenever he wants. He has a standing invitation to be on Unreal Bluegrass. So that kind of leads us to the fifth cut on the song, Crying and Singing.
Oh, yeah.
because of the tone of kind of like, as you say, like, get back up and do this one. And it's kind of like, and that happens to be another Shad Cobb tune from my notes that I've written down. But that's one that I had notes by that I really enjoyed. I want to do this before I forget, because we're gonna come back around and talk about the album as a whole and some other songs specifically. But the last tune, the tenth tune on the album. And I'm talking to Missy Raines. We're talking about her Highlander album, which is on Compass. Is a tune, Are You Ready to Say Goodbye? And you wrote that one. And I didn't see where this kind of certainly fit into what I would describe as an older bluegrass within that connotation of get ready. Basically, it's get ready. But that was an interesting song, I think, to come up as number 10. Now, how do you choose where to place those songs, and tell me a little bit about that. And before I forget, I want to talk about who's a regular member of the band, and as we get through songs, we'll talk about people that have joined you, because you have a lot of great guests.
Yeah, you're asking about how we the order.
Well, yeah, I want you to start by just touching on a little bit of Are You Ready to Say Goodbye, and then from there I want you to talk about how that was 10th, and how did you wind up. The order of songs to me is always important if the artists are involved.
Well, are You Ready to Say Goodbye? I wrote, it's really, it's probably the most personal song. Well, Looking to You is also very personal, because I wrote that for my husband, Ben. But I wrote Are You Ready to Say Goodbye for my two brothers and my sister that have passed. And each verse, every word actually is related to some real event or real thing. And they all died at different times, but one brother had a dream. I found this out basically the day after he passed away, but I found out that 3 weeks before he passed away, he had a dream that there was a black telephone.
I was going to say, this has to be where the black phone comes in ringing, because...
Yeah, I mean, it almost, when I tell this story, which I don't very often, but I do feel like, oh, they're going to think I'm making this up, but I assure you it's true. But my brother has a dream that there's a black telephone on the wall, and of course all the kids go, telephones were on the wall, I don't know about that. but there's this phone ringing on the wall, and in this dream he answers the phone, and it's the voice of our father, who had passed away many, many years ago. And my father's voice says to my brother, son, do you have your things in order? And Stephen, my brother, says no, and he said, well, son, you need to get your things in order. And that was the extent of the phone call and the dream. And my brother and I were very close, but he didn't tell me about this dream, but his wife did after, the day after, because then 3 weeks later my brother died suddenly from, you know, cardiac arrest. And so it was, and when she told me that, I was just like, obviously kind of just gobsmacked and the whole thing. And my brother used to, he was one that would go and he still lived where we all grew up. And so he was close to where my parents were buried, and he would go and sit at their grave a lot. He used to tell me that. He said, I went out and I was talking to Dad or something like that. So I just thought it was the only way I know how to deal with some of the bigger stuff is to write. And sometimes that writing turns into songs. And so, you know, then later after that, I lost my sister. And so there's the second verse. And there's a whole story there that I, you know, that has to do with the time and events around her passing, and then my other brother who died before all of that, he's basically in the bridge of it, and you know, it was just a very emotional song for me, but it took me about 5 years to get it to where I felt like it was what I wanted to say. And then when I was done, I, of course, like, you know, with I thought, well, this may or may not be good, but it doesn't matter because it says what I needed it to say. So it was, the therapy was done. And then so I felt like it was at a point. And then when I played it for people, they really liked it. So I thought, okay, so it's not too, like, because for me it was so personal, but then for other people, they're not hearing that. Like, they may relate to it in other ways, and that's a great thing. But so it just seemed to be. And Allison Brown, who produced it, she really loved it. And so she really insisted it be on the record. I honestly didn't. It was on a list that I thought might or might not be on the album.
Well, that's a thank you. Thank you. Thank you for writing the song. Thank you for explaining what appears to be, when you listen and read it, a very personal thing, and it was. I'm sorry for everything that happened throughout it, but I'm glad you were able to do it. And like you said, there's some therapeutic value. Yeah. Throughout the question is the lineup, and I looked at that as the 10th song. I want to before we do that, I want to flip up to look into you, because you mentioned that it is a song that you wrote about Ben, about General Ben.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that song definitely, like, that came from just realizing the magnitude of the gift that I have, you know, with Ben and our life together, and being able to have someone that you can truly look to for everything, and you know, someone to laugh with, someone to cry with, and that's really where that's coming from.
And he does play bass. He sings a little. He does on this a little bit. And he's Ben Surratt, who we're talking about, and I'm talking to Missy Raines and talking about her husband. Ben is one of the best, if not one of the finest in the country, certainly one of the finest in Nashville, recording engineer.
Yeah, he plays guitar and sings so well, and in fact, he's singing actually on this album. So
yeah,
we'll talk about that.
Okay.
In a minute.
So quickly, tell me the people, the regular members of the band, where the album is Missy Raines and featuring Allegheny. So let's just go through those people. I like to give them credit, and just so we know that the people here who's on the album regularly.
Yeah, so this band is Ben Garnett is on guitar. Ellie Hawkinson on fiddle, and Eli Gilbert on banjo, and Tristan Scroggins on mandolin, and that is Allegheny. And this album would not be this same album without these, you know, the five of us together. It was definitely there's a great synergy that was created, and it was a completely collaborative event, so that all of the material, of course I chose like all the material, and Allison and I, you know, made decisions on which song and that sort of thing. But once I brought those songs, you know, there, then we arranged them together, you know, we tweaked them together. they came up with all kinds of ideas. I mean, there's so much of them on every song, of like with between ideas and like they all knew what to play. I mean, it's every bit their album as it is mine.
So when you have this collaborative process, not just with your band members, which you've mentioned, but also Alison Brown is there, and I assume everybody else. So how do you line them up? You choose the music. I get that. So I don't need a deep explanation, but we start off with Listen to the Lonesome Wind, which is, you know, bluegrass. It can't be anything but that. But how do you get from 1 to 10 generally? Is there something you're doing as far as the process?
Well, it's a good question, because for me, that process is different than it used to be, and I find it extraordinarily difficult these days. So by that I mean, back when I first started making records, when we actually were records and albums solely, and not even just compact discs, but mostly the streaming aspect of it, because it means that people can pick and choose which song they listen to first from an album. Whereas, of course, you could with an LP on a record player, you could pick up the needle and move it, but most people didn't do that. Most people would put down the needle and listen to it in order. So I think about it when I decide, you know, I've arranged songs for albums and now for this age of listening. And this age of listening, you got to think somebody could just pick any song, and so you can't have control over what song they're going to hear first or what song they're going to hear last. So I think what we ended up doing was thinking of it as a side A and side B, just like a record.
Okay.
So I started thinking how I would want to ease them in, and then go to about 5, and that would be the end of one side, and then 6 through 10 is the beginning of the other side.
Okay. All right, that makes sense. And so now we've got this audience. It's like, wait a minute, there's a black phone on the wall ringing, and now we're telling them all about... I'm old. I get everything you're saying. So now we're talking about albums that you have to turn over to get the second time. So we're going to lose a lot of young people, but they're going to learn. They're going to learn, and it's good that they get to learn those things so that we don't forget our past, I guess. I don't know.
Well, I don't think we're losing them in that regard, because vinyl is very popular right now.
It is.
And it's honestly kind of coveted at this point. You know, folks who can who put out vinyl, or it's considered to be like the thing to do.
It is.
And it was never. We all knew. Well, at least I knew it wasn't ever going to completely go away anyway. And I'm glad it hasn't. And honestly, most of my friends who I know who are, you know, aficionados or musicians themselves, They like to listen to music from the beginning to the end, because they're assuming that most artists put stuff in for a reason.
That's my hope.
And it's just that things, platforms like Spotify, which, you know, I'm very much, you know, I'm fine with whatever can get my music discovered by more people. But the platforms like that create a situation where, yes, some people are just going to look at a title, and they might be just intrigued by the title, and they just might pull that out. And that might be the only song they hear, depending on how it hits them.
Yeah, okay. I like it. By the way, our daughter, who is 35, I'll say, has got me back into vinyl, because she thinks it's really cool. And she doesn't own any CDs. I still have a CD player in my car that plays six CD player. So I've been collecting vinyl because she got me into it, and she gave me a gift certificate that I could only use at a vinyl store. So I wind up buying things that I maybe used to have a long time ago and I lost. But it's a fun thing. And this has nothing to do with your record, the album that we're talking about, Highlander. But it's kind of fun. You put it on there and it goes, and it's you have to get up and turn it over. It's like it's not a lot of involvement, but it's a little bit of involvement, because you don't want it to just do that. You got to pick it up and turn it over. And anyway, is this, by the way, is this on vinyl? Is Highlander on vinyl?
It's not.
Okay.
It's not. It's not to say that it won't be.
It won't be.
It wouldn't be. Yeah, but it's not right.
Okay. So, all right. So, we've covered a lot of ground. I'm talking to Missy Raines. We're talking about her newest album, Highlander, which is on Compass, and which I've said at the beginning, it's the best bluegrass album I've heard this year, 2024. But I want you to now go into introducing Ghost of a Love. I'll play that for the audience, and this is a Ray Klein tune, which you have a pretty good singer with you, Dudley Connell.
Yes. Oh, gosh. So, you know, the inspiration behind this entire album, well, and behind the band, behind just having this band and being out on the road and touring bluegrass and, you know, touring the stuff that I grew up listening to, that I was most influenced by when I was younger. Dudley plays a huge part in that. The Johnson Mountain Boys were a huge inspiration to me, and we come from very similar parts of the world, so I knew them all before they got big and famous. But anyway, yeah, it was great to have Dudley play, to have Dudley sing with us, and it was great because, you know, of course now he also, you know, is playing with us on the scene because he's just so, the depth of his talent is very, very wide scope, and he does all these things. But when I talked to him after he did the singing on Ghost of a Love, he said, "You see, I had to channel my inner Johnson Mountain Boy, Dudley." And I said, "That's exactly what I wanted, Dudley." And so it was great. But then, but also, I got Mr. Ben Surratt to sing baritone with us on this one, and he's got all this cool heavy lifting moves, we call them. You know, if you listen to that baritone part, he's moving all around, and I love it. I just love that kind of singing, and it, you know, Ben grew up singing baritone to the Lubin Brothers, or singing with the Osborne Brothers, or whatever, like. That was his favorite thing to do. So So I've included him on singing on several of my records so far. So it's kind of becoming a tradition.
Well, and please tell him I apologize for saying he was a bass player. I know better than that. It's not an insult or anything. I just got mixed up. I know he plays guitar. Anyway, so that's a great introduction to Ghost of a Love. So I'm talking to Missy Raines about her new album, Highlander. She's done a great introduction to Ghost of a Love. We're going to play that, and I'll be back, and we'll finish up talking to Missy about this album. So hold on, Missy. I'll be right back. All right, that was it. You had a great explanation of Ghost of a Love from Missy. We're back talking a little bit more about Highlander. We've covered so much, Missy, the feel of what happened, and there's so many songs on here that we could focus on in greater detail. But we've got most of the feel of what's happening. I love this I Would Be a Blackbird, which is a Laurie Lewis tune. I love that one. I've got a lot of scribbles by that. I love the Patsy Cline and cannot read my note. These old blues. Yeah, go ahead.
So I need to. So first of all, Laurie did not write that song. She is singing on it, but she didn't write it.
Oh, okay.
And the other one is a Laurel Retta Lynn song, not a Patsy Cline.
Okay, I saw a note where it said Laurel. Okay, so maybe it was I just misread it. Laurie didn't write it. I have that in my notes. If you could see my notes, you would say that's okay. Nobody could read what you've written down.
I just didn't want you to have.
I appreciate it. So I love the lyrics to that. I Would Be a Blackbird. There's so many lines in there where. You know, if I were a word, your name would be my word, and just there's like a lot of repetition like that, and it's obviously a very important song directed to someone. Written by, I have it written down here, but I can't read that either.
It's written by Nathan Bell.
Okay, there you go. Thank you. All right, so I would like to touch on that just to talk about it, because I think the lyrics are very specific and very much part of poetry, which is what a lot of songs are. But I love the way the repetition of "If I was this, it would be that."
Yeah. So Nathan Bell is a friend of mine, and he is a really, really interesting, great writer, and someone whose songs I've recorded before. And he and I actually wrote a song together on my last album, But Nathan is, he is a poet. He's and his father actually was a poet, and he really has a very interesting way of expressing himself in music. So I always just find that anyone who's like not you know, straight down the middle of anything is always very interesting to me. So he's always got this unique perspective on stuff, and he actually, like, you know, gave me that song a long time ago, I Would Be a Blackbird, and I loved it, but I couldn't figure out, I couldn't hear how I would do it. And then, of course, with this band, that was what it was waiting for. It was waiting for this time. So we recorded it. And then when Alice and I were thinking about all the different, who we wanted to have as guest vocalists on the album, I knew I wanted Lori.
That's what my notes are.
And so we asked her to sing on this out on this cut, and it was perfect. I just love what she did with it.
And that would be, by the way, if we were still in our world of LPs, that would be the first song on the, when you turn over the vinyl. If we broke it right at six. So just to help people more think a little bit more about physically of what we're talking about, that would be the first one aside too, if we had vinyl of Highlander. I don't know why that appeared to me at the time when I looked at it. So then that would get you. We've already talked about here, Danny Paisley. I mean, is there a better? You have him singing on the eighth cut on the album, and I just think, golly, these old blues. Is there a better person to have join you on that one?
No, and I will say that actually that him singing that song with me was basically the cornerstone of the album, because that is the song, and him singing it with me was the only thing that I came in knowing for sure that had to happen.
Right?
Oh yes, and I knew it as early as like 2020. I had already found the song, and of course we were all locked down at the time, and so everything, all my grand plans of having the record out, like, you know, in a year or something from that time, were of course delayed because of the pandemic. But I had that song, and I knew I wanted to sing it with Danny. I just that's the only thing I was sure of. And because I'm just a huge fan, and I grew up, you know, in where I'm from in West Virginia. It's really not that far at all from Washington D.C., Maryland, Eastern Maryland, and Delaware, Pennsylvania, that whole part of the world that Danny is from. And I grew up listening to his dad, Bob Paisley.
Right, yeah, that's right.
And I remember that band, Bob Paisley, and when he was playing also with Ted Lundy. And so that was, to me, that was a part of bluegrass that I, you know, it's very unique bluegrass to me. But it is very much a part of what traditional bluegrass sounds like. And so Danny, of course, you know, he has his own voice, but he also definitely, you know, it sounds a lot like his dad. And so I knew I wanted to have him on the record. I'm just such a huge fangirl. It's, I mean, that's really all it is.
Well, it's perfect. It's a perfect song.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I found this song from Loretta Lynn, one of her more recent writings, and thought it would, and kind of changed it a little bit. She did it in much more of a country blues kind of way, and I thought, no, this is a bluegrass song. I can peek behind the curtains. I can see this is a bluegrass song.
I've told you before, I love everything on this album, and I'll say again, because we're close to closing this out, that's the best bluegrass album I've heard this year, which is Missy Raines and Highlander. I'll say that before I ask you to introduce the last song we're going to have you introduce. I'll play it, and then I'll say goodbye to you, then we'll play the song. But Who Needs a Mind? My goodness, what a, not a pun on the word mind, but what a deep and relevant a topic to sing about, and what a great song.
Well, thanks. I wrote this with Randy Barrett, another Maryland, I think he's from Maryland, actually, friend who I've known for a long time, and great writer. Yeah, it's a subject very close to my heart, and it's about the opioid crisis, but specifically, which is obviously, you know, like a national crisis for sure. But this song specifically is about the direct targeting to my home state of West Virginia from around the early 2000s. And, you know, just in order, the direct targeting of opioids to make a few people very wealthy.
It's, you know, and there's pain. There's obviously pain involved in being a minor of any kind. And there's a lot of difficulty. And it was billed as, hey, this will work great, and it's not addictive. And it was sold that way. And then once they got people hooked, you can't get off of it. And it, I mean, yeah, you would want pain relief. Anybody would. But it did the job. It actually relieved your pain, but then it was so addictive, which they had, we've heard the stories, but I appreciate you bringing it back up again in the song, that it really was done at that upper level of the pharmacology companies. And I don't know any of them. I hope they don't take offense. But however, there was at least one that definitely said, just get them and up the dosage. Tell them to up the dosage. Tell them to up. And it just was, it's devastating. It's devastating. You just can't get off of it.
It was an absolute targeted effect, and people lied, and people and there were good people too who were trying to blow the whistles. There were people who were trying to shine the light on what was happening, and they ignored. You can Google this, but there's evidence of, you know, like in 1 year's time, like maybe 9 million pills would have gone through two pharmacies in a town the size of like maybe 3,000 people.
Yeah.
And
No alarms went off.
Nobody batted an eye when 9 million pills were cycled through those pharmacies in one of the poorest counties in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so that is, you know, it was criminal, and the devastation remains. I mean, it's still going on. There's a whole generation of people. This was like early 2000s when it started, so it's 2024. There's a whole generation of people that have been affected greatly by this.
It's a great song to bring it up. It's not something that's gone. You know, like you mentioned, the time that it really began, I guess. But it's not gone. The effects are not gone. There are people who are still horribly addicted and in pain, and they're still, the numbers are out of whack with what they're still selling. I know they've been hit with judgments, and then they. Well, I don't want to get into the legal what happened there, but we'll say this. It's a great song. Thanks so much for writing it. Thanks for introducing it. I was really taken by the. By the song and what it meant. And I'm going to say, Missy Raines, thanks so much for being on Unreal Bluegrass. I really do think this album is the best. It's the best. Just between you and me, it's the best I've heard this year.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, so it's on Compass, and people know where to. You just got off of a tour, kind of a busy tour schedule, or you're probably going to go back on. It looks like your schedule put you back out in April.
Yeah, we've got just a little break here, but we have been hitting it hard since the record came out, and just having a great time playing everywhere we possibly can. But we still have a bunch of festivals coming up, and we're really excited about that.
And I would say you must have a website, and everybody can go to that and find out what you're up to and maybe find a way to purchase this, either that or through Compass. I assume that's possible.
Yeah, missyraines.com. And also, I'll say that if you, we have a brand new video coming out that goes with Fast Moving Train, and it's it's kind of hilarious. It's really not the average video that we're not just standing around playing. It's really fun, so check it out.
Check
it out on my YouTube.
That's like the one video that you did outside of, was it outside the Station Inn? What am I thinking of? Yeah, I forget that. That was clearly
Darling Pals of Mine.
That's right.
this has the same kind of sense of humor too with it, and so check that out.
Okay, there's the introduction, a little more explanation to Who Needs a Mind. I've enjoyed this so much, Missy. Please tell Ben I said hello.
I will.
Okay, and then I will let you go, and the audience will hear this song off of a great, great album. This is a wow, what a great tune. Who Needs a Mind? Thank you, Missy. I'll catch you somewhere down the road.
Thank you so much, Steve.
All right, bye.
Bye.